This episode aims to dissect the complexity of mortgages, the foreclosure process, the intricate dance of rights and obligations between lender and borrower, and the profound impact of bankruptcy on mortgages. Here's a breakdown of each topic. Episode 5, Financing and Mortgages. Types of Mortgages and Deeds of Trust. Fixed-rate mortgages. Fixed-rate mortgages are the cornerstone of the housing market, offering borrowers a stable, unchanging interest rate over the life of the loan, typically 15, 20, or 30 years. This consistency provides borrowers with predictable monthly payments, simplifying budgeting and financial planning. The security of knowing exactly what the mortgage payment will be each month, regardless of fluctuating market conditions, makes this type of mortgage particularly appealing for long-term homeowners. The main drawback, however, is that if interest rates fall, borrowers may find themselves paying higher rates than the market average unless they refinance their loan, which involves additional costs. Adjustable rate mortgages, ARMs. Adjustable rate mortgages, ARMs, offer an initial interest rate lower than that of fixed rate mortgages, making them attractive to buyers looking for lower initial payments. The interest rate on an ARM is subject to change over the life of the loan, tied to an index reflecting broader economic conditions. ARMs include adjustment periods detailing how often rates can change, along with rate caps that limit the amount the interest rate can increase, both annually and over the loan's lifetime. While ARMs can be less expensive in a declining or stable interest rate environment, they pose a risk if interest rates rise significantly, potentially leading to substantially higher monthly payments. Government-insured loans. Government-insured loans are designed to reduce the risk of lending for financial institutions, making homeownership accessible to wider segments of the population, including first-time buyers, veterans, and rural residents. FHA loans. Designed for individuals and families with limited resources, FHA loans are insured by the Federal Housing Administration. They cater to low to moderate income borrowers, easing the path to homeownership. FHA loans come with more flexible credit score requirements and allow lower minimum down payments compared to conventional loans. This enables individuals with less than perfect credit or limited savings to qualify for a mortgage. VA loans. Guaranteed by the Department of Veterans Affairs, Virginia loans are a valuable resource for veterans, active military members, and eligible surviving spouses. These loans provide exceptional benefits, including no down payment requirements and no private mortgage insurance, PMI. VA loans recognize the sacrifices made by military personnel and their families, making homeownership more attainable. USDA loans. Supported by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, these loans are tailored for homebuyers in rural and suburban areas. USDA loans aim to increase access to affordable housing in underserved regions. Similar to VA loans, they offer no down payment requirements, making homeownership feasible for individuals and families meeting specific income criteria. Conventional loans. Conventional loans are mortgage agreements not insured or guaranteed by the federal government, making them a more risky proposition for lenders. These loans often require higher down payments, a stronger credit history, and lower debt-to-income ratios than their government-insured counterparts. The advantage of conventional loans lies in their flexibility. They can be used for a wider variety of property types, including investment properties and second homes. Borrowers with strong credit can also benefit from lower interest rates and avoid the insurance premiums required by government-insured loans. Deeds of trust versus mortgages. While both deeds of trust and mortgages serve as security instruments for loans on real property, they differ significantly in their structure and the parties involved. Mortgages. Borrower. Mortgager. The individual or entity who takes out a mortgage loan to purchase or refinance a property. The mortgager is responsible for making regular mortgage payments, including principal, interest, taxes, and insurance, PITI. Lender. Mortgagee. The financial institution or individual who provides the mortgage loan. The mortgagee holds a lien on the property as collateral for the loan. judicial foreclosure process. In the event of a mortgage default, the lender must initiate the judicial foreclosure process to recover the property. This process involves obtaining a court order to seize and sell the property. Judicial foreclosure provides certain protections to the borrower, such as the right to redeem the property by paying off the outstanding loan balance before the sale. Deeds of trust. Borrower, trustor. Similar to a mortgagor, the trustor is the individual or entity who takes out a loan secured by real estate. Lender, beneficiary. The financial institution or individual who provides the loan. The beneficiary has a beneficial interest in the property until the loan is repaid. Trustee. A third-party entity, typically a title company, that holds the legal title to the property in trust for the benefit of the lender. Non-judicial foreclosure process. In some states, deeds of trust allow for non-judicial foreclosure. In this process, the trustee can sell the property without obtaining a court order if the borrower defaults on the loan. Non-judicial foreclosure is generally faster and less costly than the judicial foreclosure process. Key differences. Number of parties. Mortgages involve two parties, the borrower and the lender, while deeds of trust involve three parties, the borrower, the lender, and the trustee. Foreclosure process. Mortgages are subject to judicial foreclosure, which requires a court order, while deeds of trust often allow for non-judicial foreclosure, which does not require a court order. Protections for borrowers. Judicial foreclosure provides certain protections to borrowers, such as the right of redemption, while non-judicial foreclosure typically does not offer these protections. These distinctions are crucial for understanding the legal framework surrounding real estate financing and the implications for borrowers and lenders in different states. Foreclosure process and alternatives. Judicial foreclosure. Judicial foreclosure is a legal process initiated by the lender to terminate the borrower's property rights due to loan default. This process involves filing a lawsuit against the defaulting borrower, leading to a court judgment that mandates the sale of the property to satisfy the debt. The steps generally include: Notice of default. The borrower fails to make a mortgage payment or otherwise breaches the terms of the mortgage agreement. The lender sends the borrower a written notice of default, stating that they are in breach of the agreement and must take immediate action to avoid foreclosure. The borrower may have a limited time to cure the default, for example, by making the missed payment or resolving the breach, before the lender can proceed with foreclosure. Legal action filed. If the borrower does not cure the default within the specified time, the lender may file a lawsuit in court to foreclose on the mortgage. The lawsuit typically involves the lender asking the court to issue a judgment of foreclosure, which would authorize the sale of the property to satisfy the outstanding mortgage debt. Court judgment. If the court finds in favor of the lender, it will issue a judgment of foreclosure. The judgment will specify the amount of money that the borrower owes to the lender, as well as the terms of the sale of the property. Public auction. The lender will typically sell the property at a public auction. The property will be advertised for sale in advance of the auction. The auction will be held at a specified time and place, and the property will be sold to the highest bidder. The proceeds from the sale will be used to satisfy the outstanding mortgage debt, and any surplus will be returned to the borrower. This process can be lengthy, often taking months or even years, providing borrowers time to find solutions to avoid foreclosure. Non-judicial foreclosure. Non-judicial foreclosure allows lenders to foreclose on properties secured by deeds of trust without court involvement. A power of sale clause in the deed of trust grants this authority, outlining the foreclosure procedure. The process typically involves: Notice of default. In a non-judicial foreclosure process, the first step is the issuance of a notice of default. This document is served on the borrower, informing them that they have defaulted on their mortgage payments. The notice of default formally initiates the foreclosure process and sets a specific period, usually 90 days, within which the borrower must take corrective actions or face further legal proceedings. Notice of sale. After the expiration of the notice of default period, and if the borrower has not taken steps to reinstate the loan or resolve the default, the lender or their representative will proceed with the next stage, the notice of sale. This document announces the scheduled public auction of the property. It is published in local newspapers and posted on the property itself, providing specific details about the auction date, time, and location. Public auction. On the designated auction date, the property is offered for sale at a public auction. The auction is typically conducted by a trustee or a representative appointed by the lender. Interested parties can bid on the property, and the highest bidder becomes the new owner. The proceeds from the sale are used to satisfy the outstanding mortgage debt, any accrued fees, and other expenses associated with the foreclosure process. If the sale proceeds are insufficient to cover the outstanding loan balance, the lender may seek a deficiency judgment against the borrower for the remaining debt. In some cases, state laws may prohibit or limit deficiency judgments, but it varies depending on the jurisdiction. Non-judicial foreclosures are faster and less costly than judicial ones, but offer fewer protections to borrowers. Short sales. A short sale is a foreclosure alternative, where the borrower, facing financial hardship, sells the property for less than the outstanding mortgage balance with the lender's approval. This option can be beneficial for both parties. For the borrower, a short sale can provide several benefits. Firstly, it enables them to avoid foreclosure, which can have severe and lasting negative consequences on their credit history. Foreclosure can make it incredibly challenging to obtain financing for future housing, employment opportunities, and even basic necessities like utilities. By opting for a short sale, the borrower can mitigate the harmful effects of foreclosure and maintain their credit standing to a greater extent. Short sales also benefit lenders by avoiding the drawn-out and expensive foreclosure process. Foreclosures often involve lengthy legal proceedings, multiple hearings, and significant administrative costs. Furthermore, lenders often receive less money from foreclosure auctions than the outstanding mortgage balance, resulting in financial losses. In contrast, short sales allow lenders to recoup more of the loan amount by selling the property to a willing buyer, minimizing their losses and expediting the resolution of the loan. Lenders typically require proof of the borrower's financial hardship and evidence that the property's market value is less than the mortgage amount to approve a short sale. Loan modifications. Loan modifications involve changing the original mortgage terms to make payments more manageable for the borrower, preventing foreclosure. Modifications can include. There are several options available to homeowners who are struggling to make their mortgage payments. Here are some of the most common options. Reducing the interest rate. If you have a variable rate mortgage, you may be able to reduce your interest rate by refinancing your loan to a fixed rate mortgage. A lower interest rate will mean lower monthly payments. Extending the loan term. Another option is to extend the term of your loan. This will give you more time to pay off your loan, which will result in lower monthly payments. However, extending the loan term will also mean that you will pay more interest over the life of the loan. Converting an adjustable rate mortgage to a fixed rate mortgage. If you have an adjustable rate mortgage, you may be able to convert it to a fixed rate mortgage. This will give you the certainty of knowing what your monthly payments will be for the life of the loan. Principal forbearance or reduction. If you are facing a temporary financial hardship, you may be able to get a forbearance or reduction on your principal payments. This will allow you to skip or reduce your payments for a period of time. However, you will still be responsible for paying the interest that accrues during this time. If you are struggling to make your mortgage payments, it is important to contact your lender as soon as possible. They can help you explore your options and find a solution that is right for you. Borrowers usually must demonstrate financial hardship and the inability to meet current payment obligations to qualify for a modification. This option allows borrowers to keep their homes and helps lenders avoid the foreclosure process. In a deed in lieu of foreclosure, the borrower voluntarily transfers the property's title back to the lender in exchange for the satisfaction of the mortgage obligation and the avoidance of foreclosure proceedings. This arrangement can provide mutual benefits for both parties involved. Benefits for the borrower. Avoidance of foreclosure. The borrower can escape the legal and financial consequences associated with foreclosure, such as damage to their credit score, loss of equity in the property, and the possibility of eviction. Release from mortgage obligation. The borrower is released from the personal liability for the mortgage debt, which can alleviate financial stress and provide a fresh start. Potential tax benefits. In some cases, the borrower may be eligible for tax deductions related to the transfer of the property, such as a capital loss deduction. Benefits for the lender. Acquisition of the property. The lender gains control of the property without having to go through the time-consuming and costly foreclosure process. Mitigation of losses. By accepting a deed in lieu of foreclosure, the lender can potentially minimize financial losses associated with the defaulted loan. Potential resale value. The lender can sell the acquired property to recoup some of the losses incurred from the defaulted loan. However, there are also potential drawbacks to consider for both parties involved. Challenges for the borrower. Impact on credit score. While a deed in lieu of foreclosure may be preferable to foreclosure, it can still negatively affect the borrower's credit score. Potential deficiency judgment. In some cases, the lender may pursue a deficiency judgment against the borrower for the remaining balance of the mortgage debt after the sale of the property. Challenges for the lender. Secondary liens. If there are secondary liens on the property, the lender may assume responsibility for those obligations by accepting the deed in lieu of foreclosure. Property condition. The lender may inherit a property in poor condition, requiring additional expenses for repairs and maintenance. Difficulty in resale. The lender may encounter challenges in reselling the acquired property, especially in a depressed real estate market. Overall, a deed in lieu of foreclosure can be a viable alternative to foreclosure for both borrowers and lenders. It is essential to carefully consider the potential benefits and drawbacks before making a decision. Consulting with legal and financial professionals can provide valuable guidance and assistance in navigating the process. Rights and obligations of parties in financing and mortgages. Borrower's rights. Borrowers in a mortgage agreement are afforded several rights to ensure fair treatment and transparency throughout the loan's life cycle. Understanding these rights is crucial for borrowers to navigate their mortgage obligations confidently. Right to receive clear disclosures. Borrowers are entitled to clear, understandable information about the terms of their mortgage, including interest rates, payment schedules, and any fees or penalties. This right is protected under laws like the Truth in Lending Act, TILA, which mandates lenders to provide detailed disclosures about loan costs and terms before closing. Right to pursue loan modifications. When facing financial hardship, borrowers have the right to request modifications to their mortgage terms to make payments more manageable. Modifications can include adjusting interest rates, extending the loan term, or other changes to reduce monthly payments. Lenders are generally encouraged to work with borrowers to avoid foreclosure. Right to challenge improper foreclosure actions. If a lender initiates foreclosure proceedings, borrowers have the right to challenge the action if they believe it to be wrongful or improperly conducted. This includes situations where the lender has not followed legal procedures for notice and opportunity to cure the default, or if the borrower is protected under specific programs like the Service Members Civil Relief Act, SCRA. Lenders' rights. Lenders, on the other hand, hold rights that enable them to enforce the terms of the loan contract and protect their financial interests. Right to enforce the loan contract. Lenders have the legal right to require borrowers to adhere to the terms agreed upon in the mortgage contract. This includes the payment schedule, interest rates, and adherence to any clauses or covenants within the agreement. right to collect payments and late fees. Lenders are entitled to receive timely payments as outlined in the mortgage agreement. If payments are late, lenders can impose late fees as specified in the contract, provided these fees are reasonable and disclosed upfront. Right to initiate foreclosure for non-payment. Should a borrower consistently fail to make mortgage payments, the lender has the right to initiate foreclosure proceedings to recover the owed amount. This process is subject to state laws and regulations, which dictate the specific steps and notices required for foreclosure. Obligations. Both parties in a mortgage agreement also bear obligations to ensure the contract is upheld fairly and legally. Borrower's obligations. Timely payments. The most critical obligation of the borrower is to make full and timely payments as outlined in the mortgage contract. These payments typically include the principal amount borrowed, interest, taxes, and insurance. Late payments may result in late fees, penalties, or even foreclosure. Payment methods. Borrowers can choose from various payment methods, including online banking, automatic withdrawals, or mailing checks. Payment due dates. Mortgage payments are usually due on the first of each month, but there may be some flexibility depending on the lender. Grace period. Lenders typically provide a grace period of 15 to 30 days for late payments, but this can vary. After the grace period, late fees and penalties may be applied. Consequences of late payments. Making late payments can negatively impact the borrower's credit score and may result in foreclosure if the payments become consistently delinquent. Property maintenance. Borrowers must maintain the property in good condition, adhering to any specific maintenance requirements detailed in the mortgage agreement or insurance policies. This includes general upkeep, repairs, and renovations. General upkeep. Borrowers are responsible for maintaining the property's exterior and interior, including regular cleaning, painting, and landscaping. Repairs. Borrowers must make necessary repairs to ensure the property remains in good condition. This can include fixing leaks, replacing appliances, and repairing structural damage. Renovations. While renovations are not always required, borrowers may choose to make improvements or updates to the property. However, significant renovations may require the lender's approval. Insurance. Borrowers are typically required to maintain adequate insurance coverage on the property to protect against damage or loss. This usually includes fire, flood, and homeowners insurance. Lender's obligations. Fair lending practices. Lenders are required by law to adhere to fair lending practices, ensuring that all borrowers are treated equally regardless of their race, religion, nationality, gender, age, or marital status. This means that lenders cannot discriminate against borrowers in any aspect of the lending process, including but not limited to loan approval, interest rates, loan terms, fees, credit limits, appraisals, insurance requirements, and servicing. The Equal Credit Opportunity Act, ECOA, is the federal law that prohibits discrimination in lending. The ECO is enforced by the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, CFPB. Notice before foreclosure. Lenders are obligated to provide borrowers with notice of default and an opportunity to cure the default before initiating foreclosure proceedings. This requirement is designed to give borrowers the chance to rectify their loan status and potentially avoid foreclosure. The notice of default must be in writing and must include the following information: the date the loan went into default, the amount of the default, the actions the borrower must take to cure the default, the date by which the default must be cured. The opportunity to cure the default must be a reasonable amount of time. The amount of time that is considered reasonable will vary depending on the circumstances of the case. If the borrower does not cure the default within the specified time period, the lender may initiate foreclosure proceedings. Other lender obligations. In addition to the obligations described above, lenders also have a number of other obligations, including providing borrowers with clear and concise information about the terms of their loans, responding to borrower inquiries in a timely manner, treating borrowers fairly and with respect, complying with all applicable laws and regulations. Impact of bankruptcy on mortgages. Automatic stay. The moment an individual files for bankruptcy, an automatic stay is activated. This legal provision immediately halts all collection activities by creditors, including foreclosure proceedings, lawsuits, garnishments, and even telephone calls demanding payments. The automatic stay is designed to provide debtors with a breathing space during which their financial affairs can be sorted out under the bankruptcy court's protection. In the context of mortgages, the automatic stay temporarily stops the lender from foreclosing on the debtor's home, offering a crucial window for the debtor to either negotiate with the lender or make plans to address the mortgage default under the bankruptcy process. However, the stay is not a permanent solution to foreclosure, but rather a temporary measure. How long it lasts and its ultimate impact on the mortgage will depend on the type of bankruptcy filed and the subsequent actions taken by the debtor and the lender. Chapter 7 bankruptcy, commonly known as liquidation bankruptcy, is a legal proceeding that allows individuals and businesses with overwhelming debt to seek relief and discharge most unsecured debts, such as credit card balances, medical bills, and personal loans. The process involves several steps, including filing a petition. To initiate a Chapter 7 bankruptcy, the debtor must file a petition with the bankruptcy court in their district. The petition includes detailed information about the debtor's assets, debts, income, and expenses. Automatic stay. Upon filing the petition, an automatic stay goes into effect, which immediately stops creditors from collection activities, such as phone calls, letters, and lawsuits. The automatic stay provides temporary relief from debt collection while the bankruptcy case is pending. Meeting of creditors. The bankruptcy court schedules a meeting of creditors, usually within a few weeks of the petition filing. At this meeting, the debtor is examined under oath by the creditors and their attorneys about their financial situation and bankruptcy filing. Liquidation of non-exempt assets. The bankruptcy trustee appointed by the court reviews the debtor's assets and determines which ones are non-exempt and can be liquidated. Exempt assets are protected by law and cannot be seized or liquidated by the trustee. Non-exempt assets may include cash, investments, real estate, except for exempt homesteads, and personal property above certain value limits. Distribution to creditors. The trustee liquidates the non-exempt assets and distributes the proceeds to creditors according to the priority established by bankruptcy laws. Secured creditors, such as mortgage lenders, have priority over unsecured creditors, such as credit card companies. Regarding mortgages, filing for Chapter 7 bankruptcy does not automatically eliminate the debtor's mortgage obligation. The following options are available to debtors with mortgages. Reaffirmation of mortgage debt. The debtor can reaffirm the mortgage debt, agreeing to continue making mortgage payments as if bankruptcy had not been filed. Reaffirming the mortgage debt allows the debtor to retain ownership of the property and prevents foreclosure. Redemption of the property. In some cases, the debtor may have the option to redeem the property by paying the full amount owed on the mortgage, plus any accrued interest and fees. Surrender of the property. If the debtor cannot afford to reaffirm the mortgage debt or redeem the property, they may choose to surrender the property to the lender through a process called deed in lieu of foreclosure. It's important to consult with an experienced bankruptcy attorney to understand the implications of filing for Chapter 7 bankruptcy and explore all available options regarding your mortgage and other financial obligations. If a debtor cannot or chooses not to keep up with mortgage payments, the lender may eventually foreclose on the property after the automatic stay is lifted. Chapter 13. Bankruptcy, also known as reorganization bankruptcy, provides debtors with an opportunity to restructure their debts and keep their property. It is typically used by individuals with regular income who have fallen behind on their financial obligations and seek a manageable way to repay them. Under Chapter 13, debtors develop a court-approved repayment plan that outlines how they will allocate their income to creditors over a period of 3 to 5 years. The plan can include various provisions, such as reducing interest rates, extending repayment terms, and consolidating multiple debts into a single monthly payment. One of the significant benefits of Chapter 13 for homeowners is the ability to cram down certain secured debts, such as car loans and personal loans. Cram down allows debtors to reduce the principal amount owed to the fair market value of the collateral, provided that the creditor is adequately protected. This provision can be particularly advantageous when the value of the collateral has decreased since the loan was taken out. Another advantage of Chapter 13 is the ability to strip off junior liens that are wholly unsecured. Junior liens, such as second mortgages and home equity loans, may be eliminated if they have no value in the property. This process allows debtors to emerge from bankruptcy with a clean title to their home. Throughout the Chapter 13 process, debtors are protected from foreclosure as long as they comply with the terms of their repayment plan. This gives them time to catch up on missed mortgage payments, reinstate their loan, and avoid losing their home. However, it's important to note that Chapter 13 has certain eligibility requirements, and not all debts are dischargeable. For example, student loans and certain tax debts are generally not eligible for discharge under Chapter 13. Additionally, if a debtor fails to adhere to the terms of their repayment plan, the bankruptcy court may dismiss the case, resulting in a potential loss of property and other adverse consequences. Before filing for Chapter 13 bankruptcy, individuals should carefully consider their financial situation, explore alternatives, and seek advice from an experienced bankruptcy attorney. An attorney can assess the debtor's eligibility, determine if Chapter 13 is the most suitable option, and guide them through the bankruptcy process, increasing the chances of a successful outcome. In the intricate realm of bankruptcy proceedings, the rights of lenders play a crucial role. While bankruptcy offers debtors a lifeline to reorganize their finances, it does not strip lenders of their entitlements entirely. They retain certain safeguards to mitigate the impact of a debtor's bankruptcy on their interests. One of the most critical rights lenders possess is the ability to petition the bankruptcy court to lift the automatic stay. This stay is typically imposed upon the filing of a bankruptcy petition and aims to protect the debtor's assets from creditors' collections efforts. However, lenders can request the court to lift this stay in certain circumstances. One such circumstance arises when the debtor lacks equity in a particular property, and its retention is not essential for an effective reorganization. In such cases, the lender can argue that the property is not necessary for the debtor to achieve a successful reorganization and should be released from the stay. Another situation where lenders can seek a stay relief is when the debtor fails to make payments or fulfill their obligations under the bankruptcy plan. If the debtor defaults on their payments or breaches the terms of the plan, the lender can petition the court to lift the stay, enabling them to pursue foreclosure or other remedies to recover their collateral. Additionally, if the property securing the lender's debt is not adequately insured, posing a risk to the lender's collateral, the lender can seek a stay relief. They can argue that the lack of insurance jeopardizes their interests and creates an imminent risk of loss, warranting the lifting of the stay. If the bankruptcy court grants the motion to lift the stay, the lender can proceed with foreclosure proceedings under state law. This allows the lender to seize and sell the collateral to satisfy the outstanding debt. However, if the debtor can cure the default or negotiate an alternative resolution with the lender before the foreclosure sale, the stay may be reinstated, preserving the debtor's ownership of the property. These lenders' rights serve as a balancing act between the debtor's need for relief and the lender's legitimate interests. They ensure that lenders are not left entirely vulnerable to a debtor's bankruptcy filing and can recover their collateral if the debtor cannot fulfill their obligations. Conclusion. Financing and mortgages covers the terrain of real estate financing, from the nuances of various mortgage types and foreclosure processes to the balance of rights and obligations and the significant role of bankruptcy. For those preparing for the bar exam, understanding these concepts is crucial, not just for the test, but for future practice in real estate law, where financing often plays a pivotal role in transactions and disputes. This episode structure aims to provide comprehensive coverage of financing and mortgages, ensuring listeners grasp the subject's breadth and depth